Let's get started. We're going to start again from the beginning of the Gemara. If you missed the Mishnah is easy, my friends. So I want you to try to get the Mishnah yourselves, those of you that weren't there for the Mishnah. But we're going to start again the Gemara, and that's it. There's no turning back. Hopefully we're going to finish. I asked the Pesach yesterday if we could make a Siyum on Maseches Tamid. He said, I don't see why not, but I'll get back to you just to make sure. So hopefully this can be our Siyum. I was wondering about people, you know, making Siyum in by themselves, if they're not going to be, hopefully by then we'll be out of our quarantine, but it could be everyone's going to have to make their own Siyum. You know what I'm saying? So this is a good opportunity. And either way, I'd like to encourage you. I think it's enjoyable learning. It's enjoyable Masechta. It's got interesting stuff. We got some pictures over here. I'm going to try to get some people to help me so we can, like, post the pictures so I don't have to, like, put them up in your face. But I got pictures. We have a special guest just walked in. Rav Shaya Sofer, Baruch Hashem, is here joining us. Rav Shaya, make sure you're not exposed to anything that we don't want to be exposed to, right? There you go. Menachem Berman, you should keep far. On the phone, Pinny, Avigdor Gelman, Pinny, Yitzi Berger with his son, Pinny Berger, is on the phone with us. Baruch Hashem,
yeah. Could Rav Shaya come on the screen and say hi for a minute?
No, he doesn't want to come on the screen because unless they bring the screen. They can bring the screen to you. He has to stay away.
Give out.
Sure, David's with us with his coffee over there. Give out, Dick. Rav Shaya's parents are elderly, and he should definitely not in any way get close to anyone that might be locked up for a week. Okay, Rav Shaya, you can call me. You don't have to wait here. Okay, Nia Bekesh. Before every shiur, we're going to try to post you the pictures that you should see from the base of Midrash. It's nice to see the pictures. But in the meantime, we're doing good. So I think that we don't need them for this moment. Zok the Heiligi Gemara, my friends. Let's go. Zok the Heiligi Gemara. Mino Hani Mili. Where do we know these words from? What does that mean? It says in the Mishnah, there's three places where the Kohanim do what? Shmir. The Kohanim have to watch the Beis HaMikdash. Where do we know that from? Apparently, this is going to be a Pasuk. Amar Abaye, Amar Kro. The Pasuk says, V'achoynim lefnei HaMishkan, Keidma, lefnei Oyel Moed Misrocha. Moshe v'Aaron u'banav shomrim mishmeres hamikdash l'mishmeres b'nei Yisrael. As a mention of shomrim mishmeres, so apparently there's a shmirah that's going on. Excuse me, there's a shmirah that's going on over here. Says the Gemara, Amri ein shimor in. Says the Gemara answers back, in. True, shimor ba'alma ashkechan. We found that there's this concept of shimor. We found it in the pasuk. You're right. You brought me a good pasuk for that. However, deboy koyanim ulevim shimur mu. How do you know that you need koyanim and levim to do separate shimur? How do you know that there has to be that there's this idea of having the here in shimur ba'alma ashkechan deboy. Sorry, shimur ba'alma ashkechan deboy. You have to change the girsa. Shimor ba'alma ashkechan deboy. We found that you need shimor. However, miu masnison katani b'shloshim makoynis akoynim shomer meis hamikdash va'alavim ba'asim ve'echad. However, in the Mishnah, not the Mishnah by us, because our Mishnah doesn't make mention of this. However, the Mishnah elsewhere says, where's this other Mishnah? Croesus, I think. Is that right? I think it's Croesus. Says that the koynim do shimor one place and the levim somewhere else. V'ilu in the pasuk it mentions the Kohanim and the Levim together doing the Shmira. So how do we know that the Kohanim do it separately in three places and Levim do it in 21 other places? We'll get back to Levim later. Amri hachikamar. So the Gemara answers, this is what it says in the pasuk. There's two verbs and two nouns. I always like to preface for those of us that are from Lakewood or from other places where they maybe did not go to institutions of higher learning. The difference between a noun and a verb. Yes, I see smiles from Lakewood. That obviously means they're... anyway, kids are... No need to bash Lakewood. We're not spreading negativity. We're just saying that people from Lakewood don't necessarily get a higher education. But the point is like this. A verb is like an action, and a noun is a person, place, or thing. So over here in this pasuk, there's two verbs and two nouns. Well, more than that, really, if you break it down. But we'll just leave it like that. It says in the pasuk, "Yoshi kamer v'hachoinim l'fnei amishpon kedma l'fnei omoed mizracha." Choinim is the verb. Moshe v'hadar Aaron ubayanit shomrei mishmeres hamikdash. So it seems like the Gemara is breaking up the two verbs and saying Aaron is b'chad makoy, ubanav b'shtei makoymis. So what we're going to have is, we're going to separate Moshe being the Levim, so we're going to take the Levim out. And now we just have the Kohanim. And what does it say in the Pasuk? It says that the Kohanim are going to be Shamir Mishmeres HaMikdash. So Aaron, and he has two sons at the moment. Who are his two sons right now?
Not
who are they? Elazar. And Isamar. So therefore, that's altogether three. So the three of them are doing Shmira. That makes it three Mekoinis. Says the Gemara, Mima, I had to know that's true, Midachsiv. These two groups are going to be separate. So says the Gemara, maybe all three Kainim are going to be Shaimrim in the same place. Now, that doesn't really make much sense. You're going to have Shaimrim, so why would they all three stand in the same place? The answer is this Shmira anyway is not really for what?
Yeah.
For safety. What is it for?
Covering.
So, for example, by the changing of the guard, so they have two shayrim standing right next to each other, even though there's no point in that necessarily, but it's because it's only meant for covering. So maybe all three of them will be shayrim in the same place. Maybe they're all standing in one place, so maybe therefore the kohenim should all be shayrim. And how many mekaymais? One makum, three kohenim. So the gemara looks out for daitach. Why not? Ma Moshe bechad makum luchudei. Just like in Moshe, he's always alone in one place because he's one person. Af Aaron ubanav, also Aaron and his children. Bechad makom lechudei. Each one of them is going to be in one place. They're going to be by themselves. And Rashi Oymer misayf in the Kor. Rashi says I have a different makar, but there's going to be three different locations, three different stations for Shmira, and that is because it says in the pasuk misayf in the Kor. It says Shomrim Mishmeres leMishmeres. Three times there's a mention of Shmira, Shomrim Mishmeres. Live Mishmeres, and those three times is because there's three different places where the Kayin does his Shemira. So therefore, that's the end of this Amud, that we see over here, that they're going to have three different places. Now the Gemara goes onto Amud Beis, Chavav Amud Beis, and says, Beis Aftinas or Beis Anitzus. There was three places. There was Beis Aftinas, Beis Anitzus. What was the third one called? Anyone remember? Beis Amoiket. Beis Amoiket is different than the first two, and that's what we're going to focus on over here. These two places, Beis Aftinas is named after a person. Beis Anitzus is named after because that's where the rays of the sun would first, the first sparks of light that would come from the sun would shine in over there. That's what's called Beis Anitzus. Anyway, over here, it says Kohanim would do Shmira from an Aliyah. Aliyah is like from a roof. So the Gemara asks the question. That's what it says in the Mishnah. Ask the Gemara. Gemara says, Ibayalahu aliyos mamish. Are these real aliyos? Does that mean, in other words, was this a duplex? Was it two floors? Oi, Dilma, Dahabi Gabihi, Migba, Kalios. Or maybe that for some reason it was elevated, had an elevated floor. Now you could say it in one of two ways. Either you could say, or at least I saw in the Mefarshim one of two ways. Either it's that the mountain, like there was like a little bump in the mountain, like a boulder or something. So the floor, therefore, was higher. Or maybe they built it on stilts and they put something underneath. Maybe that was storage underneath. But the point is, maybe really it was only one floor, and that floor was elevated. So for some reason, either because on the mountain it was elevated, it was jutting up, or because they built it that way. Maybe they did this intentionally, but really, the Kohanim would not do Shmira on a second floor. Now, what we're going to get into a discussion over here somewhat is what's considered more chashuv, the first floor or the second floor. Now, when I grew up, always the bedrooms were always upstairs, right? Most houses in the world, bedrooms are upstairs. You have the main floor is downstairs, and upstairs is like, no one goes upstairs. All the main activity is on the floor that's on the bottom. However, we moved into our apartment and our bedrooms are downstairs. It took me a long time to get used to going down to like the main floor is upstairs. But I think that's part of the discussion here is which is, if you consider upstairs like a chashuv place for kohanim to watch, or is it a less chashuv place? Let's see what it says. The Gemara's question is over here. So Beis Aftin is a Beis HaNitzus. So back to the beginning of the Amud. Ibayelo, we asked the question. The question is, Aliyois mamish hayu, were they really attics? Was it really a second floor? The Dilma Dahavi Gavihi was high. Migva was elevated. Ke'aliyois. It was like an attic. Like it was a second floor. Tashmai, the Gemara says, I'll bring you a raya from a Mishnah. The Tanan, it says in the Mishnah, Shabitzafain, if we were in the north, there's a Mishnah in Meseches Midas, I believe. Hold on a second. This is a Mishnah. This, yes. Shabitzafain, Shar HaNitzotz. Now we're zoning in on that Shar. Shar HaNitzotz, Kimin Achsadra Hayu. The Aliyah Bnuya Al Gabo. It was built, the Shar was built in a way that there was like, it was a porch on top of it. Al Gabo Shakoinim Shaimrim Milamalo. The Halevim Milamato. So you had Koinim on top and Levim on bottom. Now, if there's no room on the bottom, so then there's really nothing for the Levim to be Shaimer. So if the Levim are Shaimrim on the bottom and the Koinim are Shaimrim on top, what does that clearly mean? That you have two. Force. It's black and white here. Upesa hayuloy lechoil, and there was an entrance to go into the choil or the chai or the chel. Either one, it's going into choil. The point is that that's where people would walk in. They wouldn't have a problem of that Yisrael is going into the kodesh. This is one of the entrances. Anyway, it seems to be over here very clear that there was actually two force: the kohenim on top and the levim on the bottom. Now, which one was more chashuv? What? That's correct. So your chiddush is bringing up the Kohen Levim did not do Shemira together. This is not called together. Why is it different? Different floors. So therefore, it's considered different. But which one is more chashuv, the Kohen or the Levi? No offense, Max is a Levi. No offense at all. Levi is more chashuv than me. But which is more chashuv? The Kohen is more chashuv. So which would you say is more chashuv, upstairs or downstairs?
Upstairs.
This is more chashuv. That's what it seems like. Now, the reason why, in general, I might think that they want to have someone upstairs to be able to do shmir. Oh, there's your levi, another levi. David, that's David. Levim are chashuv, very chashuv. But the kohenim are more chashuv. Okay, everyone's got their place. Everyone's got their thing. Anyway, Akitzer, so now we've got kohenim and levim both doing the shmira. Says the Gemara, mina hanimili. Now that the Gemara. Now, by the way, just take a step back for a second. So we just mentioned that we know that Beis HaNitzutz is for sure two floors. We're going to just assume that Beis Aftinus is the same thing. Because once we see that we're talking about Aliyos and one of them is actually really, you know, two floors, then there's no reason to assume the other one is any different. So we're going to assume both of them are two floors. Now, how do you know you have a plane on top and a levy on the bottom? Now, we said they're in two different places, but it's like it's kind of two different places, but similar. Now, that's the Gemara's question. You know, Animili, that a Levi is supposed to do the Shemira over there also. It says the Gemara, the Tanu Rabbanon. It says in a Pasuk, we learn from the Pasuk says, V'ilavu Alecha V'ishar Esucha. It says that the Levim, Ilavu, the Levi is Melave. What does it mean to be Melave? A company. That's the Levi's job. Levi is always late. Levim are often, you'll find Levim are always good company. Always like enjoyable to be around. That's a Levi, that's part of what he does. Yilavu Eilecha. Yilavu Eilecha v'yishar sucha. And he will be misharis you. He will ke'ilu serve. He will help to serve. Says the Gemara now, a quandary. Gemara says, Ba'avod doscha kosev min daber. It's talking about your avoida. Ato imra ba'avod doscha kosev min daber o'einu ela ba'avod dosam. So now, is the Levi helping the Kohen do the Kohen's Avoida? Or is the Levi doing his own Avoida? The Levi's got his own job. What's the Levi's job, for example? What? To Psichach Delasais and other things and Mishairim. Anyway, the question is, over here we're saying that the Levi is helping him in his Avoida? So maybe the Pasuk is telling you, that they should go to a place where the Kohen's not doing any shmir at all. The Levi has his own shmir also. So how do we know that the Levi is like there next to the Kohen? So Kishu Oimer, it says in the Pasuk, V'nilva Alecha, V'sharmu L'chol Kela, L'chol Avodas Soi. The Pasuk says a different Pasuk that says that Levi is doing his own Avodah. Hareba Avodas Sam, Amor. We already have a Pasuk that tells them the Levi is doing his Avodah. Hamani Mekayim V'lov Alecha V'yishar Sucha. So what are we saying when he's coming to be Misharis you? So now, the Levi is there to help the Kohen do his Avodah, do his Shmira. His own job, he has a different Pasuk for. And that Pasuk is, V'nilvu Alecha V'shamru V'chol Kela V'chol Avodasoi. That's Avodasam, that's the Levi's Avodah. Now we have a different Pasuk which is telling us, V'nilvu Alecha, he's going to accompany you, V'shar Sucha, he's going to help you with your job. So that means it's avodas chav the kohen medaber. Okay, it said, how is the Levi helping? If he stands right next to the kohen, he doesn't really help. Kohenim shomim milamala, ulevim milamata. So the kohenim are on top, ulevim are on bottom. Now, so my friends, so it ends up being something in the middle. We will be here having a little bit of a discussion. Does the Levi do his own shmira, or does he do a shmira together with the kohen? This is like something in the middle. On the one hand, his own shmira he does in a whole separate place. On the other hand, over here, it's not called he's being shomer. He's not like standing right next to the Kohen because then he's not helping at all. The Kohen's upstairs and the Levi over here is downstairs. Okay. The Leviim, their avodah was, like we said, to sing, to carry kelim. When the Gemara spoke about over here, is it avodasam, this machlekes the meforshim? Did it mean his own shmira or does it mean his own avodah of just doing his own thing? Like we mentioned, all those other things. Anyway, but we decided that this pasuk is talking about the Levi assisting the Kohen. Kohen is doing Shmir on top, and the Levi is doing on the bottom. This is where we're up to. Now we speak about the third place where there was this Shmira of the Kohen, and it's called the Beis HaMoiked. The Beis HaMoiked was different. It had a kippah, ubeis gadol haya. A kippah means it had a dome, and it was a very big place. It actually had inside of it four different chambers, aside for the inner room where most of the activity was happening. It had different rooms, and it was just like a plaza, and it had four different rooms on the side. I could try to show you a picture. Let's see if I could get this picture up. And there was one shomer there. Let me see up here. I got another book. This is the book that I have. It's called V'Hashev Es HaAvoida. I don't know if you can see it. And I'm trying to bring you the pictures. Here, this is the picture. This is the Beis HaMoiked. Right over here. See if you could do this. We're going to try to post them next time. Can you see that over there? There's four. I don't know if you can see that. There's four different rooms in the corners. And the middle looks like a little bit of like a burst of fire. Because that's what it was. There was a fire right there in the middle. And that was called the Beis HaMoiked. So that's where there was a kippah on top. Take a look. There's that kippah. See that? There's a dome. Looks a little bit like that shul? The Churva shul. Right? And that's where he would do the Shmira. So now we're talking about this. We'd like to turn our focus to the third place where the Shmira happened, which was in the Beis HaMoiked. The Beis HaMoiked, and is everyone following? Are there any questions, my friends? Any questions from the Zoom? No. Okay, good. I'm happy to hear that. Beis HaMoiked, Kippa, Ubayis Gadol Haya. Apparently, there's only one shomer in the entire Beis HaMoiked. Raminu will ask a question. Shnei Sha'arim Hayu BeBeis HaMoiked. The Beis HaMoiked had two gates. Echad Pasuach Lechel. One was open to the Chel, which is what you said is to the Choyl. The Chel is the name of an area which we'll have to show you in the map soon, different time. Echad Pasuach LaAzara. The other shahr was open to the Azara. So if there's two shahrs, there's two gates, I would assume that you need to have two guards. There's no above. The Beis HaMoiked doesn't have an above. Right? The other ones have above. This one only has... So therefore, if there's two gates, I would assume you need to have two guards. So ask the Gemara a question. Beis HaMoiked... There was two gates in the Beis HaMoiked. Echad pasuach lechel. One of them was open to the chel. Echad pasuach leazara, and one of them was open to the azara. I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Bizman she nechnasim la'azara, pish pish katan hayuloi shabay nechnasim lebalush hazar. Okay, so I want to see if I can get a picture of this also for you. This will help. I don't know if we got one over here. No, this is, no, it's too far. But there was like these small doors. There's a big door and a small door. I don't have a good picture for you over here. I'm going to have to get it for you. You want to see if you can find it? Yeah, Dovi's going to see if he can find it. But pish pish cut means there's a small door. They had these big gates. And I mean, the Beis Mikdash was a towering building. But they didn't want to open it up until the time when they're actually going to start the Avodah. So before they did that, the Kohen would come in order to inspect to make sure that everything was ready. And we're going to see about that. And he would like check to make sure everything was in place. So when he was coming in to do his inspection, so what he would do is he would go through these small gates. And in order to walk in before, you don't want to open the big gates as if the Beis Mikdash is open for business. It's not yet open for business. So therefore, they would go into these small doors. So that's what we had. Before the Trumas Adeshin, they didn't want to open the doors until the time of the Avodas HaTamid, which was during the day. So they'd go in through the side doors. So the question is over here that we've got these two doors. This is an example of a pish-pish over here. Take a look. Now, it's a machlek is actually, if a pish-pish means this. I don't know if you can see this. You have to tell me if these things are working. But this is...
Send a video to the group.
We can do it later. Do you want to take a picture?
Yeah.
I'm going to send you a picture right now. That's a sideways picture, but I guess you get the point. The way that we have it over here is it's like a big gate and a small gate next to it. I don't know if you've ever been to any of these big places, like in Morocco. I don't remember if they had one, but it could be they did. They have these huge gates and a small door where you open these huge gates. You don't always open them. It's a whole ceremony. It's all a procedura. It's a whole procedure to open the big gate. So they have these small doors either right next to the big gates or actually inside, embedded in the gate. So it's like a small door inside of a big door. Anyway, but the point is that over here we've got two gates. So you got two gates. We should have to have two shayrim, two guards. So let's read this again. Says the Gemara. I'm going to read this again. Says the Gemara. Beis Hamoiket. Beis Hamoiket is kippa. Is a dome. Ubayis gadol hayah. V'chad shemer who to have it. There's only one shemer. V'beis Hamoiket. Ask the Gemara. V'ramin will ask a question. Shnei sha'arim hayu v'beis Hamoiket. Echad pasuach lachel. V'echad pasuach la'azara. There's two gates. Amar Rabbi Yehuda v'zeshin echlesin la'azara. And in the one that was open to the Azara, it also had this small little door in order that you should be able to inspect the Azara. Amar Abaye, Abaye answered, these two gates were very close in proximity. Sagilei bechad shoymeh, which means that this we're asking the guard to multitask. It's not so difficult. The gates are very close to each other. You should look here and look there, look in both places, and it's basically considered to be that's enough that he should be able to do both jobs at once because the two gates are very close to each other. Now the Gemara continues. The Gemara gets back to the discussion of what's going on inside of the Beis HaMoikid. It says, Mukaf, it was surrounded by Roydin Shel Evan. Surrounded by these slabs of stone that were jutting out of the wall. I could show you a picture of that also. Roivdin, my nihu. So the Gemara wants to know how exactly did this happen? What were they sticking out? What does this mean? It says the Gemara, Gizarta the Itstabita, the Salkile Itstabita, that what they were stones and on top of them, there was other stones. In other words, you would be able to hop from one stone to the other in order that you should be able to, they were elevated. It was like bunk beds and on many different levels. And the Kohen would be able to sleep. Yeah, this is it. This is a form of, you want to show a picture of it? I'm going to send you another picture that maybe you could see. The first one didn't work. We'll see if this one works. Here it is. This is kind of like, it looks like these other pictures, but let's see if this one works for you. It looks like stairs almost like, but I think that there was another picture earlier, but this one worked. You should be able to get it. So, but the idea is there was a place for for the painim to all sleep, and they would walk through the side. So now, how did you get the stones to be this type of shape? That's what the Gemara wants to figure out. How do we have stones that are that they seem to be that they were hewn, which means that they were carved out or something? Oh, here's a picture of everyone sleeping.
Why do people not sleep on beds?
Maybe look at this.
This one over here. That's the kainim sleeping over there on the stones, on the sleds. You can't see?
Why did they not sleep on beds?
Morocco, Rabbi.
Is that good?
Good,
whatever.
Good.
I'm trying. We're going to get better at this, my friends. It's a work in progress.
Rabbi, it's like the beds in Morocco.
What? Like the beds in Morocco. Right, Rabbi Daniel HaShomer. By Daniel HaShomer, we did that. We slept around the, all around the side.
Why did they not sleep on beds?
We slept on, but they had pillows. We had cushions over here. There's no cushions.
Right? Why not?
Anyway, what? And they have their clothing. What?
Because they're men. Men don't need pillows or blankets.
Ah, okay.
Oh, we're gonna see. No, they had blankets, but they didn't. I don't know. They slept on. They didn't have mattresses. We'll see why. Kind of, maybe. They had pills. Pills were allowed to have.
The Gemara says, "Lo arach ara le'ole mitzvah beis hamikdash."
Yeah, we're going to see that very soon. Very good, Baruch. But we got a lot of kainim over here online. They know what's going on. They know the score. Beis hamikdash is serious business. By the way, just so you should know, I always someone told me a very wise thing. It was one time there were kainim who were in a group and they were going to beis hakvaros. And the kainim feeling like they were left out, they couldn't go. And one of the people said, listen, now we can go where you can't go. But Beis Hashem, in the future, you're going to be able to go where we can't go. You're going to be able to go on the Beis HaMikdash. So the kainim, I know that this is their VIP. This is their chance after all this time of not being able to be part of the matziv. They're going to be where all the action is at. And we're going to be so FOMO'd out. It's going to be, but what can we do? I mean, you know, there's a to have the gene. They got the kain gene. Anyway, Kitzur, so let's get back to what's happening over here. The Kainim, there's so much action that they're actually even willing to sleep on stone to be able to enjoy this activity. So it's we ask the question, so how is it hewn? How do they get these stones this way? Gemara says, Mihavi Miflegi Avonim, could you carve out stone? Was that allowed? What does it say? Vaksim, it says in the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, "V'habayis v'hi banoisai even shlema." So it's supposed to be complete. So you can't carve out the stones. Amar Abaye. Abaye says, "The miskini umaisi meikara avna zutra v'avna ravrasa." Abaye says that what they would do was they would bring. They would fix it, and originally they would prepare it in a way that they would bring larger stones, smaller stones, and that way they were able to stagger it in a way that it wasn't going to it would align with the plans for the base. Hamikdash kidach siv avne eser amas the avne shmoina amas. There was avanim that were 8 amas, there were avanim that were 10 amas. So it wasn't like they brought all these stones and then on the base and then on the Harabais, they started like carving them. The stones they brought were originally sized, and they chose specific stones with specific sizes in order to bring it. In other words, they're originally allowed to obviously when you hew a stone from, you have to take it out of a mountain. I don't know what it's called when they're like carving stones out of a mountain. There's a word for it, but the problem with them cutting stones is only on the Harabayas. So everything was originally taken out when it was originally taken was larger stones and smaller stones. They brought it to the Beis HaMikdash, and then they constructed it because they had all of the material was all prepared. So therefore, it wasn't a problem of anything being cut to a specific size. That Isser is only on the Beis HaMikdash itself. Now, there's something that's interesting over here, which we're going to speak about right before we end, which is the next discussion in the Gemara, is how do they sleep there bechlap? It says in the Mishnah, Ziknei Beis Av Yishenim Sham. Is one allowed to sleep in a Beis Knesses? You're not supposed to. The Tosefta says you're not supposed to sleep in a Beis Knesses. So if you're not allowed to sleep in a Beis Knesses, so for sure, a person's not allowed to sleep in the Beis HaMikdash. Because everything that we have is a Mikdash Me'at. the mikdash ma'at, so the mikdash hagadol, kol shchein lekol shchein, kal v'chomer, you shouldn't be allowed to sleep. I don't know what the Mefarshim answered to this question. I'm just going to tell you my own chavis das, just my own hashkaf rishon is as follows. The reason you're not allowed to sleep in the base of mikdash, in the base of medrash, is why? It's not covered. But let's say, for example, and we have some, we've had this situation, maybe even right now. Let's say there's an Aron Kodesh and there's no lock on the Aron Kodesh. You're afraid someone's going to do what? Steal the base of it, steal the Sefer Torah. Are you allowed to sleep in the shul in order to protect the Sefer Torah? What would you think?
Yes.
I would like to suggest yes. Why?
Because
let's say it like Lundish. What's the reason? Why yes? Because this is not called lack of covet. You're doing it in order. I could sleep on my bed. I got a comfortable bed. Why am I sleeping in the basement?
Lack of a moon in the pocket.
Okay. Well, you have to do a certain amount of ishtadlis. You be careful. Clean your hands, okay, my friends? You have to. So it could be that the kohen that was sleeping in the Beis HaMikdash, it wasn't that they didn't have a place to sleep, but they had to be there in order to do the avodah. Because they're sleeping there, they're sleeping on stone, my friends. I'm sure that it wasn't like this is like the more comfortable place to be. If a person's just sleeping there because he's tired, he doesn't want to schlep himself out of the Beis HaMikdash, so then it's a lack of cover. The Beis HaMikdash is not a place to sleep. But if he's sleeping there in order to enhance his avodah, then perhaps we could say that that's more mutter. We finished the Amid, my friend. We're going to continue with more of Beis Hashem, hopefully. Tomorrow, I ask you to please join us. I'm enjoying the learning very much. I'm preparing the learning. We really should be able to learn together. Tamid b'simcha, my friends. Thank you very much for being here. And let's continue tomorrow.